Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, I would like for you to go to Luke's Gospel chapter 8. Luke's Gospel chapter 8. And I was reading out of the book of Luke this week, and these passages of Scripture about the parable of the sower sowing the word just kind of jumped out at me, and it hadn't left. And so I'm going to preach on it. And it's like the Lord put it on my heart to talk about this. And yeah, I don't like to put the devil's name in a title, but I felt like I needed to this morning because I think for the emphasis sake. But what I want to talk about is Satan's warfare against the word. And I think it's important that we understand that he fights the word, you know. And so we're going to talk about Satan's warfare against the word. I usually don't like to put his name on anything, but we're going to expose him this morning. Amen? Amen. And so we're going to start in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. I'm not sure if we'll go to some other scripture. We may. We'll just see. But let me just stop there just for a minute. Let me stop for a minute before we read that. Let me give you the background to what we're going to read, because what we're going to read actually is the explanation of the parable. Jesus gave the parable about how a sower went out to sow, and some fell here, and some fell here, and some fell here, and some fell here. And so after he was done, he explained what he was talking about, what he meant by the parable. And so what we're going to deal with this morning is actually the explanation of the parable and what Jesus was talking about, so that we can grasp the meaning of this parable, because this is a real important parable. And the reason we know it is, well, for one thing, Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand all of them? If you don't get this, how will you get the rest? And it's also recorded in Matthew and Mark and Luke. John doesn't record this, but these other three writers of the gospel record this parable. And so it's important. Amen? And so we're going to look out this morning and talk about it. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, he said, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So God's word is seed. Now, how many know what you do with seed? You plant it, right? You plant seed. And God's word is seed that's planted in our heart. Now, he said in verse 12, he said, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then comes the devil, and he takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they... Now, notice this last phrase. This is real important. Lest they should believe and be saved. So the devil knows that if the word of God is allowed to run its course in your life, you're going to be saved. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, I'm already saved. Well, there's a lot more to the word saved than just being born again. It means you're going to be delivered, praise God, healed, blessed, prospered, so forth. Hallelujah. But it all hinges on the word. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about, because, you know, next Sunday morning, I'll actually be 39 years old. Next Sunday morning, praise God. Who said in the Lord? 39 in the Lord, all right. Next Sunday morning, 39 in the Lord. And I was thinking, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about how, and I want to still be that way. I believe I still am. I always believe I can improve. But I thought about how hungry I was for God's Word. I spent hours just filling myself with the Word, the various formats that we had in those days, you know. Let me just say this to you, young people. It's a lot easier to get a hold of God's Word today than it was even those 39 years ago. Yeah. I mean, it's on every format you can think of today. You can get it on your phone. I mean, if you'd have told us 39 years ago you could get the word on your phone, we wouldn't know what you were talking about.
That's right.
I mean, it was on the wall, you know. So, and all the formats that we have, and sometimes, you know, like today, you know, used to, this church started out in the cassette tape day. And that's a little white plastic thing that has tape in it and magnetic tape. And this thing started out in those days. We just ordered those things and ordered those things and ordered those things by the hundreds. I mean, we just were, we were really good friends with we used to use a company called Truth on Tape in those days, and then they kind of scaled back. We started using a place called Kingdom. But I mean, you know, we ordered and we ordered because people fed and they fed. And then we went to CDs and we grumbled about that, like, you know, this stupid thing's going to replace this thing. I mean, and eventually, you know, we just, you know, we had to change because you couldn't buy cars with cassette players in them any longer. You know, and now you can't buy them with CD players in them. But, you know, and then we sold CDs, and then we sold CDs, and then we sold CDs. And I've noticed over the last 3 years or so, we don't sell CDs hardly at all. And I'm like, what is wrong with you people? Why don't you buy CDs? And then I realize it's because we've made it free everywhere else. They don't have to buy CDs. I mean, we just recently had a new partner hook up with our ministry. You know, our traveling ministry, which hasn't traveled at all this year. I don't know, I could be wrong. Maybe we'd have some, but there's stuff lining up for next year. Praise God. And one of the things they said, because every month you get a letter and you get a CD, one of the things they said is, don't send us the CD. We get everything by podcast. Yeah. And so, but what I'm saying is, I was so hungry for the Word of God that I spent hours, you know, just feeding on the Word of God. And people can say different things, but here's what I know. I know this. I know how much the Word has done for me. And I know how free it's made me because I gave myself to it. See, it was a lot more than just coming to church on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. It was a lot more than that. That was life Monday through Sunday. That was life. Any moment that you had a little extra time, you weren't doing something, you were most likely looking in the Word. Or if you're driving down the road, you had your cassette player going and you're listening to the Word of God. And that foundation in my life did something for me that I'm still living off of today. I'm still, you know, now you have to continue on in the Word. But see, what did Jesus say? If you continue in the Word, then are you my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But you just have to continue in it and continue in it. I like what Job said. Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. In other words, Job said, I consider eating God's Word more important than eating food. Remember, Jeremiah said, your words were found and I did eat them. Now, you know, most people, especially as you get a little older, when you're a little younger, you know, for the most part, you don't think about food as much. But you get a little older. Amen. You get a little older and, you know, food means a little bit more to you. It becomes more of your friend. And so you think about it, and most people, listen, most people, they wouldn't just grab a little bite here or there. They're going to have a meal every day. Look at me like that. I can tell you do. There's some things in life you can't hide. And so, you know, Job said, I consider God's word more important than me eating a meal today. In other words, it's more important for me to eat God's word today than it is for me to eat food today. Amen. That's pretty radical, isn't it? But you know what? He made the Bible, didn't he? He made the Bible. So God held him in high esteem, didn't he? All right. See, one of the things that we have to understand is that God's Word, You know, you say, well, Pastor, I just get so tired. I hope you don't say this, but people could say, oh, I just get so tired of hearing you guys talk about, you know, the word, the word, the word, the word. Matter of fact, you know, one pastor had a couple leave his church, he said, because they wrote him a nice little letter, you know, and said, well, Pastor, we're leaving. They'd been there 16 years. And they said his crime was he preached the word too much. I don't know how to help you. I really don't know what to do for you, because I thought that's what we're supposed to do at church. But we're living in some really strange, weird times. This has been a really weird year, you know. But the times are weird and strange, and church has changed. And a lot of churches are no longer word churches. You know, they're just entertainment churches or social clubs or, you know what. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you'll get people who come to your church and they'll say, do you have a canoe ministry? I said, no, we don't have a canoe ministry. Oh, I'm not coming because I like canoeing on Saturdays. And so, well, I'm sorry, wrong church, you know. If we had a canoe ministry, wouldn't be anything wrong with that, but I don't think that's our purpose, is to allow you float down the creek in your canoe with believers. Oh, y'all looking at me kind of ugly, but I don't think that's our purpose. Our purpose is for fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of the church. Amen. It's not for to get your social needs met. Now, I'm only all for that. Don't misunderstand me. I hope you find your spouse in church. I hope your friends are in church. I hope your social needs get met in church. I hope all that happens. Don't misunderstand me. But that's not the purpose. And if you miss the purpose, then you're going to have weak believers on your hands. See, that's why some pastors are about ready to pull their hair out. That's not what happened to mine. Mine started falling out before I became a pastor. But that's why some of them, because they don't preach their people the word, and all they got is problem people. But if you feed people the word, they grow up, they mature, and they're strong in the Lord. Amen? And so the word's very important, and the devil knows that, and he fights that. He fights that. And I'm going to talk about some of the ways that he fights the word this morning, and how he fights it and tries to keep us from bearing fruit in our life. But here in verse 12, well, let me say this. I like something. I read this years ago. It's in a book called Christ the Healer. I think it's in that book. But it's the quote's by the guy that wrote the book, Christ the Healer, F.F. Bosworth. And he said this. He was talking about Christians trying to receive healing. And he said the reason many Christians can't receive healing is because they feed their bodies three hot meals a day and their spirit one cold snack a week. And they have trouble operating in that spiritual realm because their bodies are well taken care of, but their spirits are malnourished. And Jesus said we're to live off the word of God. Amen? Right. Now, so verse 12 again, he says, those by the wayside are they that hear, and then cometh the devil. So when he hears, when you get a hold of the word, then he comes, right? Right. Now, I like Mark's gospel. Mark says this about this. Mark adds this. It says, he comes immediately. And I thought, you know, if the devil comes immediately, he must be afraid of the word of God. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if your curtains catch on fire, you probably act immediately, right? I mean, think about that. Immediately. Well, because it's real important that you get those curtains put out before the rest of the house burns down. Right? You may say, well, you know what? I'm watching football right now. I'll get to that later. You're not going to be watching football long because your whole house is going to burn down. See, that's why the devil knows when a believer gets a hold of the word of God, he's got to put it out quickly. See, I've learned this about the devil. He doesn't want people to get born again. He will fight you to keep you from being born again. But if you get born again, his next line of defense is he doesn't want you to find out who you are in Christ. He doesn't want you to know the word. He wants to keep you from the covenant, the truth in this book. Because he knows the more of this you know, the less dominion he'll have in your life. Now, his dominion's been broken when he got born again. That is a reality. But see, there's a big difference between what's legal and vitally yours. What you legally have is one thing. What you vitally have, that's what you're enjoying. You could have an inheritance of $30 million and it legally be yours, but if you don't know it, you won't enjoy it. Like the woman, and I've told you the story before, but the woman in D.L. Moody's church when Mr. Moody was pastoring, that he went to see, and she had a document framed on her wall, and she was living in this apartment type thing or something like that, and it was just extreme poverty that she was living in. And he went to visit her, and he saw a document on her wall, and it was interesting to him. He could tell it was something important. And he asked her, "Can I have this checked out?" And she said, "Well, you can. Just make sure that you bring it back. It's very special to me. I worked for a rich older man and his wife, and the lady died, and I continued working for the gentleman. And when he died, he left this to me." And Mr. Moody, the pastor, went and had it checked out, and she was worth millions of dollars. He left her stock in a company, and this was like a certificate or something. I don't understand it, but I'm just telling you the story, okay? Anyway, she was worth millions of dollars. She was living in poverty, but for years she'd been worth millions of dollars, but she did not know what she had. See, that's the way the devil wants you to be a believer. Maybe, well, he doesn't want you to be a believer, but if you're a believer, he doesn't want you to know what you have. This book reveals what you have. It reveals it. Amen. I mean, when I began studying the Word of God, you see, I thought I was getting saved so I wouldn't miss the rapture. I thought I was getting saved so I wouldn't die and go to hell. Well, that's all true. But I didn't realize there was a lot of benefits that went with getting saved. You know, the psalmist said he daily loads us with benefits. Well, I didn't realize that. I didn't realize God would heal you. I didn't realize he cared anything about your finances. It just didn't cross my mind because, you know, that's just not what I hadn't heard any of that. And when I began reading the Bible and I began to listen to other men and women preach the Word of God that knew something, and they began to show me stuff in the Scriptures, I'm thinking, where have I been? Actually, my thoughts are, why didn't I hook up with this a long time ago? Why did it take me 21 years to hook up with this like this? Amen. And I would listen to preachers preach. And listen, I wasn't watching TV at that time. I cut everything out. I'm not saying you have to do that. I watch sports now. And Phyllis and I watch some older movies sometimes now. But I didn't do anything. I need to find out what I had and who I was. This is just too exciting. Praise God. Woo, hallelujah. I mean, I was stirred up about it. And you know, what I found out is this. There were a lot of people that were saved and been saved for 40 years, didn't know it. I told you, I started preaching 4 months after I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I would go preach places, and sometimes people would be astounded. It's like, you know, when with Jesus, they said, "Where did he get all of this?" And you would go preach to some of these older saints, and "Where did you get this stuff at?" Well, it's in the book you've been carrying to church for 40 years. But the only problem is you might open it at church and you might not even open it there. And that's all it does. It just gets carried back and forth to church. You ought to read it. Amen. And you ought to find some others that are preaching the Word of God that are on target with the Word of God that can preach to you what you have. Because I have found this out in my life, that the greatest measure of faith I get is when I hear somebody preaching. That's the greatest deposit of faith I get, because that's what the Bible says. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That does not mean we don't get faith reading our Bibles. We do. But I'm just saying there's something special. God anoints a man or a woman of God with an anointing to get up and preach to you the Word of God. And there's something extra put on that to get that directly into your spirit if you're open to receive it. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I like good news. Some people don't like good news, because I'd go preach some places and it'd be like, don't tell me I don't have to be sick. I have to be sick. Well, I mean, people like that, you can't help them. Right? As long as they're going to think that way and not adjust, then you can't help them. I told you years ago, I went and prayed. I was preaching for a church on Sunday morning. This was so funny, but it wasn't funny. And I gave an altar call for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it was a Sunday morning, and it was a church where, you know, I don't know how much faith they were getting in this church. Probably not a whole lot. It didn't seem like it. You can tell by preaching. And so I gave an altar call, and a lady comes up. I would guess her to probably be in her 60s or 70s, and she wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so I led her in prayer, had her say some faith things and so forth about receiving the Holy Spirit, laid hands on her, and she immediately started speaking in tongues, immediately. But I watched her. She started shaking her head, no, no, no. Now, I realized what her problem was. That's not the way she thought it would happen. She was in one of these emotional churches. Nothing wrong with being emotional. We could use some more of it. But you can't live by that. You got to live by the Word. The Word says, see, and I had her say this, Father, you said that if I'd ask you the Holy Spirit, if I'd ask you for the Holy Spirit, you'd give me the Holy Spirit. Isn't that the Bible? Well, then if you say what that said, you're saying what the Bible said. That's faith. I got her to say that. She got in faith, laid hands on her. She got baptized in the Holy Spirit. But in her thinking was people, Terry, you know, she'd been around people who've been Terry for 38 years. You can't get it this easy. I mean, you got to struggle. You can't just say something and receive. See, that is exactly what I'm talking about. They're not feeding on the Word of God and growing up and learning about faith. We had a lady in church one time, and she was she really knew a lot about flowing in the Spirit and about spiritual things. That, you know, really did. She really did. But she didn't know much about faith at all. And I tried to teach her some things and give her some materials and so forth. But she had arthritis really bad. And I don't know how many times during services, you know, she would testify, it's all disappeared. All of it. Because she was in pain, I guess, constantly. She said, it's all gone. It's all disappeared. But then, you know, a few days later, it'd be back. And people say, well, what God does, you know, I've heard people say, if God did it, it's permanent. No, why did Jesus say, hold fast what you have? Right. Of course, the devil can steal it. Or your own unbelief can just let it go, you know. But what I found out about this lady is even though she was a great lover of God and could teach a lot of people about operating in the Holy Spirit, she didn't know much about faith and she didn't know how to keep it. And anytime she felt a symptom, her first words would probably be, oh my gosh, it's back. I thought I was healed. I mean, that's not faith. Faith would say, oh no, you don't, Mr. Devil. You're not putting that back on me. And you'd stand your ground until it all dissipated, disappeared. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So Satan comes immediately. What does that mean? He's afraid of the Word of God. Amen? See, John 10:10 tells us he's a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says this about the devil. It says that the God of this world blinds the minds of those that don't believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. So he knows if you see the truth, you're going to go to the truth. So he'll blind the mind. Well, how do you get the blinders off your mind? Well, people can pray for you and help back that off, but ultimately it has to be you making the decision that you're going to go for it. You know what I mean by go for it? That means you're going to determine you're going to believe it. See, Paul went on to say later on, he said, we walk by faith and not by sight. Right. So when we choose, we're just going to you can choose to believe something. Remember what Thomas said? I will not believe. Well, Jesus was thrilled with him, wasn't he? I remember Jesus showing up. Was he really happy with Thomas? No. He got on to him. Well, see, that I was reading that one day and it dawned on me. Jesus hears our unbelief. I thought he heard Thomas's. And he wasn't there in the room, but he heard it. He hears our unbelief. And so Thomas said, I will not believe. Thomas could have said, you know, I don't know how that could happen, but I believe it. Now, you know, we just don't believe things randomly, you know. We believe what God said. And it was in the Bible. Jesus had already said he'd rise after the third day. Didn't he? Amen. Now, Let's talk about some of the things. Well, let's finish reading this passage out. Verse number 13. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation or testing, they fall away. So there's some people that are only, they're just temporary. That which fell on thorns are they which when they have a herd, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life, and they bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which when honest in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, I want to just three things that I want to deal with, and they're all in this passage right here that Satan uses as weapons against the word in our life. The first thing is doubt. Now, it's interesting because here in verse 12, where it says, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe. It's interesting to know this, and I've taught you this before, so this isn't new. But it's interesting to know, when you look in the Greek, the word taketh away, it's one Greek word, but the English uses two to describe it. And the translators of the King James Bible and other Bibles chose to describe it, taketh away, which is true. But it also means this, to make doubt. To make doubt. You can check it out for yourself. It's in the Strong's Concordance. So, and when you think about it, that makes sense. Because if you believed it, he wouldn't immediately get it. He has to use doubt. Remember what the devil did when he first came to in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve? Hath God said, you shall not surely die. See, the devil, what was he doing? He was sowing doubt. Guess what? It worked. Eve went for it. She doubted what God said. How many, if God said, in the day you eat thereof, you will surely die. How many know that's pretty concrete? Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, if God said it, how many know that's just the way it is, right? See, I've seen, this is a totally different vein, but I just want to show you how accurate the word of God is. I have seen I have seen believers get married to unbelievers. And the Bible says don't do that. Right. It says do not be unequally yoked together. Right? Right? And that's just the word of God. That's the wisdom. But I have seen believers marry unbelievers and say, well, it'll be okay. And you know what? It never turns out okay. Because why? See, you fell for, you doubted, you may not realize you did this, but you doubted the validity, the veracity of the Word of God. Right. Amen. And so it never works out because God said it wouldn't work out. Right. Amen. And so, don't raise your hand. Has anybody ever did something contrary to what they knew the Bible said? Probably. You know what? I'm going to take it a little further than Sister Debbie did. I am going to say, you have. Everybody in here. Did it work out? It never works out. Why? Because we live in a world where they say there's no absolutes. Everything's fluid. Everything's subject to change. Some people in our country believe our Constitution should change with the changing times. Some people believe our Bible should change with the culture. Well, I want to tell you what God said. He said, in the psalmist said, Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. There are absolutes. It's right here. There are black and whites. There are rights and wrongs. And when you cross the word and you doubt that the word really means what it says it means, you're about to have some bad things happen in your life because the word's always true. Amen. And so there are certain things, if you do them, you're going to reap the benefits of. Now, thank God for mercy. Right? You know, I heard a preacher say one time, he did something. And, you know, you got to have a heart to repent, right? He said, I did something, and he said, I started crying and told the Lord, Lord, I'll never do that again. He said, the Lord spoke back, said, don't start lying. You know, God knows us, doesn't he? But we got to learn that whatever the Word says, that's final authority. Amen? So the devil comes to sow doubt. How many know the Bible gives us the recipe for the Word working in our lives? It says mix it with faith. Hebrews says the Word that was preached to the children of Israel, it didn't profit them because they didn't mix any faith with it. If God, I don't care what it looks like. If God said, what he said changes everything you see. See, they saw giants, but God said the land's yours. If he said that, giants don't mean anything. Amen. Do you ever notice even when God was talking to Israelites about going and possessing the land, he never even mentioned the giants. You think he overlooked them or he didn't know they were there? I mean, he knew everything about it, right? But he didn't mention them because they're not a factor when God says. Are you with me now? See, I don't care what, now this is, I don't mean to belittle anything, so don't take it this way, but I don't care what your disease is called. If God says you're healed, your disease isn't a factor. Abraham considered not. He said, my body's not a factor. Sarah's isn't either. She's been barren the whole time they've been married. Now she's 90 years old. He's 100. Now he's barren for reproductive purposes. You know, when God did a miracle on Sarah and Abraham, he did a miracle. Because Abraham had six more, I think it was like six more kids. Wasn't it, Pastor Jerry? Six more kids. Well, at least act like you know. You're a preacher. Amen. Yeah, all right. I mean, don't act like you don't know. You're a preacher, man. Come on. Yeah, he had six more. This thing was six more kids he had after that. I mean, he was in 120 or something, 124, and still having kids. I'm not sure that he was all upstairs, up here at 124 and still having kids. But anyway, he did. Anyway, amen, are you with me now? So doubt, you have to mix faith with it. Amen? So number one thing that the devil will throw against the Word is try to get you to doubt it. He'll try to get you to doubt it. All right? Now, let's go to verse 13 again. He said, they on the rock are they which hear, and they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, and which for a while believe, but in time of temptation or testing, they fall away. Well, what does this mean? Well, you know, the Mark's translation says that they received the word with joy, but they had no root in themselves, and so endured but for a time. Afterward, affliction or persecution came for the word's sake. Did y'all hear that? See, Luke doesn't say that, but Mark says that Jesus added that in there. You know, Luke's just given his version of it. Mark gives his version. Matthew gives his version. Some added more things, you know, that Jesus has said. So Mark says all that comes for the word's sake. Now, why? To get it out of you. Because if it's left in you, it bears fruit and the devil's dominion is broken. So what does this mean? Well, it says that here they believe for a while. They're only temporary. Now, I've seen this many times because people will come and get excited about the word and then they'll get discouraged because things don't change quick enough. Or they run into some trouble along the way. Did you ever notice that when Jesus said... He said in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, what things serve you desire when you pray, believe, and you shall receive them. Did you know shall can imply a time? He didn't say you'd immediately have it. He said you shall. But see, by the time you say amen and the time you have it, there could be something that Jesus called right here, tribulation, trouble, testing. And why is that coming? It's coming to get the word. The King James Bible uses the word offended in Mark, and they get offended. Here, I think it says, what does it say here? Here they fall away. Some translations say they stumble. In other words, they give up. They And it really comes back to, then it causes them to doubt the word. See, I thought pastor said, well, listen, if you're basing what you're doing off what pastor said, you're on shaky ground already. Now, if you want to say, pastor preached the word to us, that's what the word says, that's a different thing altogether. But if you're doing what I say, listen, I've failed many a times. Some of my brilliant ideas weren't so brilliant. Don't look at me like that. You know, every time I read that scripture, I was telling Pastor Jerry the other night, I said, every time I read that scripture where Jesus said, in the King James says, take up your couch and go into your house, I always think of Dustin. You know, so how many of some of our ideas aren't that brilliant? But if it's the word, right? If it's the word, come on, if it's the word. He's never going to live that one down. That was such a funny story, his couch story. That's a classic. Somebody ought to give that to Joyce Meyer and let her preach it like it's her own. Well, you understand. See, if we don't understand this part, we can get offended, like Jesus said. If we don't understand that just because we've heard the word, we've heard faith, we don't understand that that does not necessarily mean that everything's going to be smooth all the time. We're never going to face any obstacles. And when we say, boo, the devil runs. We have authority, but it doesn't always just work quite like that. Right? In the end, we win, but sometimes we have to be persistent. See, the Mark's translation, Mark's of this, he said they have no root in themselves. What does that mean? They have no staying power, no sticking with it. Now, you know that that's true in the natural. You got to learn to stick with stuff if you're going to get the fruit of it. Amen? You got to stick with it. You know, let me know, you got to work all week if you want an all-week paycheck. I just remember when I got out of school, I was telling Phyllis this the other day, I remember when I got out of school, and I've said it before, but, you know, I remember when I got out of school, I could not wait to get out of high school. You know, I thought, as soon as I can get this over with, the better. And that was my attitude. It was a wrong attitude. But I got out. I graduated early because I had, in the school I was going to at the time, if you had enough credits, you didn't have to go your full senior year. So I opted out. I only had to go half a year, half a day my senior year. And so I got out. And then so I get out. Now I'm out. Now it's called job time. And I remember being in that hot, see, some of you, you've never been here, you don't know what this is like. But I was 17, I wasn't even 18 yet, you know. When you're 17 and your life's been pretty cushy, and you know you've been doing drugs and hanging out with your friends and all that, just partying, that's all you've done with your life. You know, I'm just being honest with you, 17. I started when I was 13. And so, yeah, that's all you've done. And all of a sudden, you step into this rubber factory. You think you have died and went to hell. I mean, it is an awakening now. You know, and they're going to keep me here till 2:30 in the morning. I would work from 4 in the afternoon to 2:30 in the morning. But you had to do it if you wanted the money. For some reason, these people, they don't have good hearts like you. They weren't going to just give it to me. You know, I'm not coming, but I want my check. I mean, see, this is the thing with Christians. Sometimes they're just like young people that don't understand. You got to stick with things if you want it. Come on. And so people get offended. We've seen, we've lost people that way. And sometimes you can't get them back. Well, I tried that and it didn't work. And, well, you know, it's like one lady told Charles Capps one time. She said, I said that 3 times and nothing changed. You know, he was always good on teaching on confession. And she told Charles Capps, I said that 3 times and nothing changed. He said to her, aren't you a trooper? 3 times. 3 times. Well, let me just say this to you. We don't just say things to get things to change. We say things because we believe them, and that's our life. Yeah, I speak to my body. Yes, I say things. I'm talking to my body about things right now because it needs to change. Some things need to change. And so, yes, I do. But that's got to be our lifestyle. Amen? It's not just something that we work like a magic potion or something. Amen. So discouragement. Now, last thing is verse 13. Verse 14. It says, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard the word, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to perfection." So the third thing that I have is distractions. The devil uses doubt. He uses discouragement. He uses distractions. Distractions. Why? Well, life. I'm too busy for the word. Come on. See, we're living in a time, I've never seen anything like it, where people are so busy, and I know they are, but we got to take time for the word. We got to take time. So, well, I don't have time. Well, listen, this will save your bacon. This will save you some time. If you get God involved in your life, it has a way of say of actually causing you to have more time. Now, I want to, I don't want to go to the scripture, but I want to reference the scripture. I want to look at one more last scripture, and then we're going to close. But I want to reference the scripture, and that's where when Jesus went to Mary and Martha's house. Remember that story? Where Jesus went to Mary and Martha's house. Him and his whole crew went there. Now, we don't know how many went. We know Jesus and his 12 disciples, that's 13. But he also, at that time, had like 70 others that were working with him. I don't know if they were all there or not. But how many know, 13 plus Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, that's 15. That's enough to cook for. 16, yeah. Got to take my shoes off, count that far. 16. So that's a lot of people, right? For one, and so Jesus comes in there and he goes into the living room and he sits down on the couch and he begins teaching the word. And so Mary comes in the living room and sits at his feet and listens to the word. Martha's in there banging pots and pans around and huffing and puffing and going on, "I don't know why nobody ever helps me in this family." And then she has the audacity to come out and ask Jesus about it. "Lord, tell my sister to come in here and help me." And Jesus didn't snap and say, "Oh, I'm sorry. I did not realize you were fixing tacos." I mean, he didn't do that. No, I might have. I might say, "Get in here, help her. We're going to eat." But Jesus considered the word more important. See, he said to Martha, "Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things. But one thing's needful. And Mary's chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her." She's going to get something permanent today. You get your taco, it lasts for a little while, it's gone. She's going to get something permanent. Where it says you're careful, the King James, careful, it literally means you're distracted. You've let this distract you from the most important thing in life. Listen, your kids' ball games aren't the most important things in life. Your ball games aren't the most important things in life. Anything you got going on is not the most important thing in life. The Word's the most important thing in life. And Jesus said to her, he said, "Mary has chosen that good part." Now listen, "which will not be taken away from her." See, our choices determine how much stress we're going to have in our life. And I like what he said. He said, you are worried, you're careful, you're troubled, you're distracted about many things. See, if you allow the devil, he'll take you out with many things. And believe me, there's many things to be taken out with today. Think about it. I mean, think about all the distractions there are in life. There's more distractions today than there was 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Is that not right? Sometimes I think cell phones are a curse. Our new pagers were of the devil. Remember pagers? Before cell phones were out, somebody had a brilliant idea. We'll step a buzz box to your hip, and every time somebody needs you, they'll buzz you. And then you got to go find a phone to call them. I remember one time, I'm just traveling down the road, and I get I'm a good little pastor. I want to take care of the sheep. So I got a buzz box, you know. "You can page me if you need me," and I'm going down the road, driving down the road, And I get this page. I'm nowhere near a phone. So I have to go out of my way to find a phone and get a phone to answer. Because, you know, I remember how pagers worked. They would zzz, and the number would come up, and that would say, call this person, see. And so I had one of those, good little pastor here taking care of the sheepy. And so, you know, I get a buzz. And so, you know, I'm driving down, I'm going somewhere, and I got to go hunt for a phone. You know, and when you have to hunt a phone, you had to hunt for a phone. In those days, I found a phone and called, and it was one of the great little sheepies that go to this church. And what time does service start? That's where you remember the fruit of, you know, Galatians chapter 5, verse 23, the fruit of the Spirit, 22. It's like, it starts the same time it started last week. Oh, thanks. I just want to make sure. You're welcome. Always here for emergencies, you know that. How many remember those pager days, you know? And so those were there, you know, to page you and all. And all that, as we've evolved, there's more and more distractions. Amen. And, you know, you can get many things pulling you aside. But you've got to be like Mary and realize, look, dinner's not the most important thing. It's second. It's not first. The Word's first, right? The Lord, lunch, family. You get the order right. You know what I'm saying? So help me understand that if we don't do something about it, Satan will steal the Word from us by distractions. If we don't do something. Man, it's like I heard one, I think it was Joyce Meyer, was complaining about her schedule. Wasn't that her? One time she was complaining to the Lord about her schedule, how busy she was. And the Lord spoke back. He said, I didn't make your schedule. You did. We better schedule the time in for the Word. Amen? All right, let's close. You get something today? Let's go to 2 Corinthians, and we'll close right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And this will be it for today. Choose the good part. So what does Satan use to get the Word out of us? Well, he fights against the Word with doubt. He fights against it with discouragement. He fights against it with distractions. It is amazing what God will do if you'll put His Word first place. When I was just young, you know, I was probably in the later 20s. There was a period of time where I had left my position at Gleason, was no longer being paid by a church, but I was still preaching. Well, no, I take that back. I was still there. Excuse me. I'm getting my story mixed up. I was still there, but I was still preaching in other places. But no, I take it back. Let's get it right. I had left, and I went and I was developing a traveling ministry, but I didn't have enough traveling income, you know, so I got a job. So I'm working 45 hours a week. I'm preaching a few times a week. I have a radio program. And all that's going on in my life. And the next thing you know, man, I'm just, and then, you know, you got your natural life. You know, you got to mow your yard. You got to take care of things. You got to do things just naturally. And the next thing I find, I'm swamped. I mean, it just begins to weigh on me. And I don't have time for the Word. I think I don't have time for the Word. I think I don't have time. And it begins to weigh on me. And it begins to bother me. And I remember, you should never do this, but I did. I'm sitting down talking with a sinner about my life. I'm like, man. And, you know, it's like, this is bad. You know, I'm telling him how busy I am. And, you know, all he can do is like, man, wow, whatever, you know. But I remember the Lord said something to me that changed that. It changed it. He said something to me. Now, don't miss this. This is simple, but it's big. He said something to me that changed the whole thing. He said, because I don't have time to be in the Word like I was and stuff. He said, if you'll sow time to me, I'll sow time to you. What was he telling me? You may think all those things are important, but there's something more important, and that's you being with me. See, when Jesus called His disciples, He called them to be with Him. And so I put that into practice. You know what? It wasn't long until afterwards all that pressure was off of me. I was still busy, but somehow it was getting done. I think it's called the anointing. that helped me. Amen. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's close right here. Verse 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Casting down imaginations, or one translation says arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I want you to notice particularly verse 5 again. We're to cast down every argument, notice this, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, if anything comes in our life that wants to argue with the Word of God, we're to cast it down. We're to cast it down. Or it tries to exalt itself over the Word of God, we're to cast it down. We're to cast it down. I mean, I've had things come in my life, whether it be a sickness, an affliction, a problem, that would try to talk to me and say to me, "I'm bigger than the Word of God. I know what the Word says. The Word says, by His stripes I'm healed," or whatever, the promise. I know what it says, but this problem will be saying, "I'm bigger than this," and that's not going to come to pass. See, that's exalting itself against the Word of God. I had to pull it down and bring it down. This is my final closing, but I'll close with this story. Bible's closing, iPad's closing, but mouth is not. I never forget a story my pastor, Dr. Mark Barclay, said one time when he was young in the Lord. He said, "I was at my pastor's house. I'm just sitting at the table. We're having a meal." And he said, "All of a sudden, something happened to my back. Pain shot into his back. His back totally went out. It was so bad that he couldn't even go home to his own house. He could not move. He could not function. They had to literally take him and put him in bed at his pastor's house for 3 days. It was that bad." He said, "I remember something that happened." He said, "When that happened to me, I heard this voice," now not audibly, but heard it on the inside. He said, "I heard this voice say, 'You will never walk again.'" Now he's just a young man. He said, "Then I heard this little scratchy, tiny voice inside of me say, 'By His stripes, I'm healed.'" Did y'all get what I said?
Yes.
All right. He said, "I would hear this voice, 'You'll never walk again.' 'By His stripes I'm healed.'" Has anybody ever been there? I knew exactly what he meant. I've heard that same stupid, scratchy, small, sick, weak, pathetic voice. You know why that voice is there? It's because we haven't been feeding on, "By His stripes I'm healed." Well, Dr. Barclay didn't have anything else to do for 3 days. He's stuck in bed. So he's feeding on, "By His stripes I'm healed." He said, "I noticed as time went on, I'd hear this voice that would say, 'You'll never walk again.' And then I heard a voice say, 'By His stripes I'm healed.'" He said, "I'd hear this on the inside of me." He said, "Finally, the third day," he said, "I heard this voice say, 'You'll never walk again.' And I heard this other voice say, 'By His stripes I'm healed.'"
Amen.
He said, "When that happened," he said, "I got healed." What was happening? Well, the devil trying to steal the Word. You have to be louder on the inside than he is on the outside. When you get there, victory's assured. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just lift our hands to God right now. Glory to God. Come on, just begin to bless Him. Thank Him. Magnify Him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you have to learn. These things will work in every area of your life, not just healing, but every area. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. My prophets, says the Lord, paid a dear price to get that book into your hands, my word. I did that because I knew the word of God, my words, would make you free. I knew that before you knew that. I knew that before anybody knew that. I am the word. And so I say to you right now, hear the word of the Lord this day. Fill yourself with my word and watch things begin to blossom in your life. My word will cause the seed of prosperity, the seed of healing, the seed of freedom, the seed of soundness, the seed of peace to blossom into a big tree into your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.